Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. With me is Thomas Hampson. Mr. Hampson is a writer for the Illinois Family Institute. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran serving as an intelligence analyst. He also served as a chief investigator for the Illinois Legislative Investigating Commission and served on the Chicago Crime Commission as a board member. He's the founder of the Truth Alliance Foundation and is dedicated to the protection of children. Before we get into our topic, you were a chief investigator for the Illinois Legislative Investigating Commission. A lot to investigate here in Illinois, I guess.
Right. Well, it was more commonly known as the Illinois Crime Investigating Commission. And our standing mandate was to investigate organized crime and official misconduct. But we did anything that the General Assembly wanted us to look into as well. So there was plenty to look at. And
did you help put politicians in jail?
Yes, we did.
Successfully, okay.
Well, still not, it's pretty hard not to.
Okay, there we go. Tom, as you're aware, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has lost track of at least 32,000 unaccompanied migrant children, UCS, and may have lost track of up to 323,000 children. That's according to a new report released by the Department of Homeland Security Office of the Inspector General. Wow. What figure is correct there? 32,000 or 323, or is it even more?
Well, the 32,000 are those unaccompanied minors that had missed their court date. They were supposed to appear in court, and 32,000 of them have not appeared. However, there's another 291,000 that they have no idea where they are.
Well, wait a second. They're unaccompanied minors.
Right.
And they're expecting them to meet a court date.
Yes. Even if they're a minor, they're given a notice to appear, or supposed to be given a notice to appear. 32,000 of them that got notices to appear didn't show up in court, and they don't know where they are. But there's another 291,000 of these unaccompanied minors that they tried to serve with notices to appear that they can't find. So that brings the total that they have no idea where they are to 323,000. And these are people that just over the last 5 years, that's it, 323,000 in the last 5 years that they don't know where they are. The current fiscal year ends on September 30th. So they don't have the numbers for that yet. But the previous 5 years, they've got numbers that show all these other, there like over 400 and some thousand that have appeared at the border, unaccompanied minors, and 323,000 of them, they don't know where they are. Now, it's a serious problem because it's very possible that a number of these children are being used for sex or labor, illegal sex or labor exploitation.
Do we have any idea where these kids are?
None.
None.
No, and it's ridiculous.
How does that happen? I don't get that.
I have no idea. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The children, they get encountered at the border by the Border Patrol, and the Border Patrol initially processes them, and then they turn responsibility of these unaccompanied minors to the Department of Health and Human Services. There's a child center that does that. And Department of Health and Human Services generally contracts with a nonprofit, an NGO, non-governmental organization, to transport the children and make arrangements for temporary or permanent placement of the child somewhere in the United States. So the NGO takes custody of the child on behalf of HHS, moves them to some other state or wherever, arranges placement of these children with somebody that can take care of them. These NGOs get almost $42,500 per child. For fiscal year 2021, that amounted to $5.4 billion.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, that's all, yes. And for fiscal year 2022, it was $4.9 billion, plus some extra, there was some extra money in there. We don't know how much it is for 2023 yet. But basically, it winds up being anywhere between $41,900 and $42,500 per child that these NGOs get paid. That's four times more than the cartel gets for illegally trafficking these kids into the country. Because on average, the cartels get somewhere between $6,000 and $15,000 per person to traffic them into the U.S. On an average of $10,000 per person for each one of those years, it's a fourth of what the NGOs made. What possible reason could there be to pay $42,000 per child to move them from one place to another place?
I don't get it. And these NGOs, non-governmental organizations, right?
Right.
Some of them are supposedly faith-based.
Right.
Are they really?
Not my faith. I know that there's some supposedly legitimate nonprofit or legitimate charities out there that are doing this, that may be trying to do a good job, but they are complicit in the trafficking of children.
How do they cloak that in their faith? I don't get that for sure.
Well, they had that book a while ago that I just totally objected to, was that book called Welcome the Stranger, that it doesn't make any difference where they come from. We're supposed to welcome them. We're supposed to help them. We're supposed to feed them and take care of them, which I think is all true. But there's a point where instead of welcoming somebody who just shows up on your doorstep, to helping them get to your doorstep and facilitating their movement to the interior of the country in violation of U.S. laws. And that's where I think most of these NGOs are now. And I think they have a tremendous financial motive to do that.
Well, $42,000 per child, that's serious money there.
Right, it is. It's, by comparison, to educate a child in the city of Chicago, one of the highest costs in the country is $29,000 per child.
Tom, let's go into what you discussed a little bit earlier, that a lot of these kids are being sex trafficked, or maybe they're child labor. What's happening?
This is another frustrating thing, because there is very little information. Of course, any crime activity is hidden, so it's you can only get glimpses of things that are going on. But what you see coming across the border is that basically the traffickers themselves that are bringing people into this country are routinely raping any woman that comes in. We know that they're being raped on their way in.
And once they're here, what's happening?
Once they're here, the ones that take custody of them, we don't know for sure if they're a relative or if they're just somebody that paid for them to come in. Because the traffickers get paid, like I said, between $6,000 and $15,000. They may get paid more for children. I don't know. It's because a lot of that's still hidden. But somebody pays that money. Now, does a child have $10,000 to pay the trafficker? No. So whoever sent them or whoever is receiving them is paying the cartel trafficker. What are the people getting for that? If they're not related to them, what do they get? How are they getting that money back? How do they benefit by paying a trafficker to bring a kid in? Got to be one of two ways. They're either using them for labor or they're using them for sex.
Well, let's get into the labor end. Where would you find these minor children, migrant children, working?
They might work for some family, as a maid or as a nanny for their other kids or whatever. They wind up being basically slaves to the family that brings them in.
Really?
Or the people that bring them in, yeah.
And you think that's widespread?
I don't know that it's widespread. I think it certainly is happening. We've seen instances of adults coming here being used as slaves, both sex and labor slaves.
Wow.
The estimates range between 11 million and 20 million people have come in the last three and a half years.
During the Biden-Harris administration.
Right, yes. And so many of them are working someplace, and it's not like they're getting legitimate jobs because they don't have the right to get legitimate jobs. They're illegals.
Could you see minor children working on like big farms and stuff like that?
Oh, they could be, but I think more of these minors are being used as personal servants or as sex slaves. Let's say you get a minor coming in that's 13, 14, 15 years old. If I pay a cartel guy $10,000 and I pay the parents of the girl another $10,000, they send the kid up here, you can make tremendous amount of money on that girl by prostituting her out.
You said the parents sell their children?
Oh, yeah, sure, parents sell their kids.
You don't hear that in the news.
No, because I believe that there is very little interest in protecting children in our culture.
Really?
Yeah, it's all lip service. They don't really care.
It's very evident with this migration thing.
Well, of course it is. 20% of adults in this country were sexually abused or sexually exploited before they reached the age of 18. half of them were sexually abused in schools. We've been on this for decades, and we've done nothing about it.
Nothing about it.
Look, churches don't even do decent investigations of people that work for them. Schools don't either. Nobody that takes care of kids do decent investigations or monitor who it is that's working with kids. They have no character standards for working with kids.
That's crazy. You know, you get the argument, though, that we should allow these people in because the Bible tells us to take care of the foreigner.
Right.
What's your response to that?
I think we do need to take care of people that show up here, and if they have no other recourse, that the people are desperate, they're starving, they need help, I think we do need to provide help to them. But that doesn't mean we need to keep them here. We can provide help to them, you know, like the previous administration said they got to wait in Mexico. While they were waiting there, we provided food and other services to them while they were in Mexico. They don't have to be here. We don't have to release them into the interior of the country. Our law says we can't do that. There's an obligation of any country to maintain the values and the principles that the country has.
We have to maintain our borders.
Yeah, we have to maintain our borders. The importance is to maintain our values and our principles so that we can remain a country. And we can only assimilate so many people into those values and into those principles once. There's limits to how many people you can assimilate into believing those values and principles. We can't have people just coming in here and creating a balkanized USA. We can't bring people in who won't assimilate into our values and principles.
They have to become Americans.
Yes, they have to. We are supposed to be from many one, and our one is defined by our Constitution and our other founding documents. People have to become one with America, not have America diluted and become like every other country in the world. We shouldn't be allowing anybody to have allegiance to some other country. If they want allegiance to another country, go back.
Nehemiah was tasked with building the wall.
Right. They helped people that needed help, but look, they didn't change what they believed because of the influence of foreigners. When they did change what they believed because of the influence in foreigners, it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
We have to have people begin to believe what we believe, not try to change us into them.
Here's one of the arguments. Well, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were immigrants. They went to Egypt. What do you say to that?
They didn't try to make Egypt into Israel.
Yeah, right.
And they went back to Israel. So I think that people that come here need to respect our principles. People come here because of our principles. And if they tried to change it, we wouldn't be America anymore.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. We want to continue our conversation with Thomas Hampson, writer for the Illinois Family Institute, right after this.
A literal Adam is essential. This is Ken Ham, author of the book on passing along a spiritual legacy, Will They Stand? This week, we're asking, did humans evolve? Well, consider that a literal Adam who really did sin and bring death into creation is essential to the gospel. You see, God's original creation was very good. There was no death because there was no sin. But then the first people disobeyed God, bringing death into creation. That's why we need the last Adam who came and died in our place, taking our penalty for us. If Adam just evolved from an ape-like creature, death was always a part of creation. Adam would have been doomed to die anyway. So what did sin do? The idea of evolution, it undermines the gospel.
There's so much more to discover when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com. You'll be encouraged and equipped at AnswersRadio.com.
The Great COVID Con, an Illinois Family Institute forum. What went wrong and why? 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328.
Medicine very often is not being scientific. Turns out when we're scientific, things go well.
Join IFI, Dr. William Crevier, and Dr. Mark Zumhagen on how to keep the Great COVID Con from happening again.
Big Pharma has its own agenda. It's not giving us science, and it's not giving us the truth.
The Great COVID Con, a special Illinois Family Institute forum, 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328, 708-781-9328. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here. I'm joined by Thomas Hampson. He is a writer for the Illinois Family Institute, and you have an organization that you founded.
Right, Truth Alliance Foundation. Actually, one of the things that we investigated when I was with the state was the sexual exploitation of children, and we did a multi-year investigation into that, made a bunch of changes in the law and procedures that we thought would help. And then in around 2006, I think it was, the state of Illinois, DCFS, hired me to investigate the priests. And that investigation lasted for about a year and a half. It was eye-opening for me. I realized that the things that we had recommended and had been implemented back in the 70s and 80s didn't solve the problem. And there was still a lot left to do. That there was a problem was a lot worse than I thought it was. It was a lot more expansive. And so after I did that investigation with the state, I decided to found the Truth Alliance Foundation to come up with a better way to protect children from predators. And so, you know, I teach organizations how to tell the difference between good guys and bad guys and how to set up child protection programs within their organization, with their churches and with other child-serving groups.
Are you doing anything on behalf of migrant children?
Not right now, no. But migrant children fit into it because I have a particular interest in the exploitation of children of any kind. Many churches do have migrant children that come into them, but most of those kids that become part of an active church are not those that are being exploited. The exploited kids are isolated from other groups.
During the first half of Spotlight, we talked about these 323,000 unaccompanied minors that the government has lost track of, the Biden-Harris government. Are any of these kids being located? Are they finding any of these kids?
Well, I don't even know that they're even trying.
Really?
Where are they going to start? They don't even know their name for sure.
Yeah.
All they have is a name that was given to them when they showed up. And then the NGO, they just move the person like it's a piece of paper. They go from this place to that place. Who knows if they even have decent records that would identify where they are or who they placed them with.
So let's say they do find some kids.
Right.
What happens next to them?
Well, supposedly, the ones that are missing, the 291,000 that are missing, that they weren't able to serve notices to appear to, they would be served a notice to appear. Supposedly, they would have a firm address where the child is. And the 32,000 that failed to appear, I'm not sure what would happen to them. I don't know if they give them another chance to appear or if they just send them back.
Wow. The Venezuelan super gang. It's known as TDA.
Yeah.
It's seeped into the U.S. They're gaining a foothold here. Just how dangerous is this gang, and how strong a foothold have they already gained?
Well, they're even worse than MS-13, from what I understand. I don't know that much about that group. I've seen reports on it. I've seen how violent they are. They are like MS-13, is that they have no regard whatsoever for the law. They have no fear of the police. Why would they? The police in the countries they came from are much more aggressive than any police officer here in the United States. If you are disrespectful to a police officer in El Salvador or Venezuela, it's not going to be good for you. If you're disrespectful to the police here in the United States, nothing's going to happen to you. So they have no respect for law enforcement. It's easy for a U.S. law enforcement agent to be ambushed, to have one of these individuals shoot them, because our law enforcement is more responsive than they are aggressive.
Well, I've seen video of what happened in Denver, where they took over an apartment
right,
building.
Aurora.
Aurora, Colorado, right. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all, because they have no regard for the law.
And are the local authorities, maybe the state authorities, doesn't seem like they're doing a lot to fight back.
We're not doing much to fight back about any crime, because the prosecutors aren't doing anything about it. How can you fight a gang of illegal aliens when all these places are sanctuary cities, where they won't even call ICE to come and get them? They won't even call ICE to say, round these guys up and send them back.
So you think it's policy that is driving this?
Well, policy is allowing it. I don't know if it's driving it. Certainly allowing it.
Well, money would be the other driving
right.
force. How will this gang be making money in Illinois? Because we know they're in Chicago.
Gangs of any kind make money however they can. Drugs, robberies. Look at all these things where they're going into stores and stealing in mass, getting mass thefts. Nothing happens to them. Nothing's being done to stop them. If you have a store, like in Chicago, if you have a store and these gangs come in and start tearing up your place and stealing your jewelry and stealing all your stuff, if you shoot them, you're the one that's going to be in trouble.
Right, yeah.
And if you call the police, they'll say, well, we'll get there when we can. By the time they get there, they're gone.
Do you think police are scared of these guys?
No. No, they're frustrated by the lack of any prosecution of them.
Do you anticipate a gang war? Maybe it's already underway in Chicago with the existing gangs and the new arrivals, the TDA.
Well, that's why we're having shootouts down, you know, and throughout all the neighborhoods, I'm sure. From what I understand, these are mostly gang shootouts. They're shooting at each other and trying to claim territory, trying to claim the drug business or whatever it might be that they're involved in.
Do you think the TDA could overtake the existing gangs?
I don't think they're big enough here.
Not yet. Will they become big enough?
No, we got some pretty big gangs here.
Okay.
I think they'll be assimilated into some of the gangs that are already around.
Okay.
They might become leaders within what we've already got. But I doubt that there's enough of them. We have tens of thousands of gang members in Chicago.
Yeah.
There seems to be no interest in what used to be considered the state of the art was the broken windows philosophy that Rudy Giuliani put in place in New York, that you take care of the small crimes and the big crimes would evaporate. There's no interest in doing that anymore.
Well, you know, President Trump, during his campaign, has been discussing the idea of mass deportations of these folks who've come here illegally. What does that look like? Is that a good idea?
Personally, I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure how you're going to pull it off. It takes an awful lot of work to do it. The way the system is set up, it's set up to prevent you from being able to do that because they got to see a judge. We don't have enough judges. A judge has to make the decision to deport them. Then you deport them. This is after you catch them. And so I don't know how he's going to actually do that, but I would like to see it happen.
Well, what would Tom Hampson's idea of immigration reform look like?
Well, people should only be able to come here in accordance with the law that we have on the books right now. The laws need to be enforced. They aren't being enforced. That whatever immigration we allow, we should require people to give up their citizenship if they want to become a U.S. citizen. Give up the citizenship that they have and swear allegiance only to the United States. I'm not in favor of dual citizenship at all. Birthright citizenship has to end. We have hundreds of thousands of Chinese that are U.S. citizens that are living and being raised in China. Over 2 million gotaways, known gotaways, have entered the U.S. We don't even know where they came from. We don't know who they are or where they came from in the last 3.5 years. When you consider that a division, an army division, is 10,000 people. How many divisions have infiltrated the United States? It doesn't take very many people to wreak havoc in the United States. There are only a total of 800,000 police officers in the country. That's it. 2/3 of them are off duty at any given time, or maybe even 75% of them are off duty at any given time. So we have a very small number of law enforcement officers in the United States. How difficult would it be for a terrorist organization to arrange to have several hundred people come into the country and have groups of five attack different parts of the United States?
Not that difficult.
Not at all. And what kind of havoc would that create in the United States? It's duplicated in malls all over the country or churches or synagogues or wherever it might be. All these things happening at the same time, orchestrated. And it looks like indications are that those kinds of plans are being made right now.
God bless you and your work, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And the name of your organization is the Truth Alliance Foundation. People want to find out more. What do they do?
Well, they can go to truthalliancefoundation.org. That's the website that I have. They can also email me at trhampson@hotmail.com.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Do go to our website for important articles like those that Tom Hampson writes for Illinois Family Institute. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.